Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Ultra Hope Girls, a Danganronpa podcast. Today, we are going to be doing our 2.0 of our ultimate literary episode in honor of our girl Toko, and talking about books we recommend for the characters, but this time we're including movies and video games and anything else because we found characters hard to pick books for in the last time, so we're gonna try something a little different this time. And this time we have Jason joining us. We are so excited to have Jason Wishnob back, just vibing out here.
Vibing hard. Doing it.
All right. And just so everyone knows, this episode will spoil
the entirety of Goodbye Despair.
And with that, let's get into it.
I'm Maddie.
I'm Marin.
I'm Caroline.
And I'm Jason, aka Byakuya Togami.
Hell yeah. And we're the Ultra Hope Girls.
One, two.
Welcome to the Danganronpa Podcast.
You're on the threshold of an amazing episode. Showtime.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this nice, lovely evening.
It's a lovely evening. It's here. It's a lovely temperature. I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me again. It means you like didn't secretly hate me the first time, or even if you did, then at least the numbers were good. So you're like, oh, we'll tolerate it one more time.
Yeah.
So thank you again. And we have like a cool like theme this episode. I was asked to prepare and I did. So I have some recs, but we'll get to those eventually. Yeah, what's up? What should we talk about? Anything. We can talk about anything.
Well, Jason, I just want to talk about the elephant in the room, which is these voice lines that you had to record.
Yeah, so that was the thing. For anyone who is unaware, I was feeling like I wanted to be really active in the election in 2020. It mattered a lot to me, so I thought, what can I do to help? And in the past, I've done phone banking and text banking, but like, who wants to get a phone call or a text message from an annoying person telling you to vote for a specific candidate? I don't know any human beings that like those. And I did it a few times and it like kind of sucked. So I racked my brain and I thought, is there any other way that I can encourage people to vote? And I came up with the stupid idea of saying, if you vote and show me a picture of your I voted sticker in a picture next to your Twitter handle to make sure that it was actually theirs, they could request any voice line asterisk from me in the voice of Byakuya Togami, and I would deliver it to them. Obviously, you know, rules like no sexual content, no demeaning content, things like that applied. And I don't know how many lines I like really thought. At the time, I had like 2,500 Twitter followers, which is not a lot, and all of them on my like video game development Twitter handle because I don't really have a personal one because I didn't want to manage two of them. I thought I would get, if I was lucky, a couple hundred, you know, like, oh, yeah, that's really great. It turns out that I got 3,453 at last count. And that's only the ones that, like, made it. Like, there were a lot that were submitted that, you know, I had to interact with either to fix their voice line or they didn't send the picture in right or they were asking for clarification. So many, 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 many thousands of Twitter messages that it was overwhelming. It was honestly like I started losing it. Like after I started October 20th, an election day in the US is November 3rd. And like it kept accelerating. Every day had more requests than the previous day. And by the time it got to November 2nd, not only was I very anxious for the election itself, but like it was starting to like looking at Twitter, it got to a point where I would get about a request a minute. And keep in mind, like a voice line, even if I do it in one take, even if I don't do any audio processing, like takes a significant amount of time, and it includes second up recording, uploading the files, delivering the files. Twitter has limits on how many files you can send in a row quickly before it decides you're a robot and it like temporarily bans you from sending messages. So if you send like, I found out it's about 27 messages in a row quickly, it's like, nope, you're a robot. You're not going to be able to send messages for another hour. So I had to like deal with that. And so every single day, with the exception of 2 days where I went somewhere to an Airbnb with a friend, from October 20th to December 18th, I sent an average of, I recorded and uploaded and sent an average of 65 lines a day, taking an average of like 2 hours or so. I mean, you know, don't want to get into politics too much. I was clearly rooting for Joe Biden. And it was like at times mentally devastating to me to just like to do all this because it was so much work and I was dealing with so many people and like, of course, at my job at the same time. And I don't even want to imagine what that would have been like had it gone the other way, where I would have still had to do all those lines because I promised people those lines, but the result had been worse. And I don't know, it took a lot out of me. It was a ton, but I'm still really glad I did. I mean, obviously that's an amazing response. Lots of people, I mean, the Danganronpa pot or the fandom tends to be younger. Like a lot of people, like a ton of people were like, I'm not 18 yet. I'm like, I'm sorry, like find a friend or an older sibling or a parent or something. But a lot of people said they, you know, this was their first time voting and they were, you know, maybe nervous about doing it or they were unsure, but this kind of encouraged them to go in. So that felt really good. And then eventually, I think it was like December 15th or 17th or something, I finally finished it up and I just like collapsed and just like zoned out for a few days. That's what happened. It was a time, but I did it. And I went like multi-viral on TikTok several times. Like there are numerous like memes that came out of it that spread all across TikTok and like hundreds of millions of listens from those, but I can't really directly benefit from that because there's no attributing source. Like the original TikTok account that posted it was just someone I sent the audio to. So, you know, whatever, it's fine. I'm glad people liked it. I'm not much of a TikToker myself. I'm an old, you see. But I did make an account just so I could look at all those silly things people did with them. But yes, so that's a thing that happened, and it was a big part of my life for 2 months. There's a lot of voice lines.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Oof.
I did we all request them, the three of us?
I didn't.
Maddie was your savior.
Request, I think.
Yes.
Someone.
Aaron.
That's me. Yeah. I had you record the audio that Amanda Celine Miller, she came up with a Biakia line. And so we took her.
And you did the video, yes. Right? I saw the video. Yeah.
Yeah. We had one of our listeners who likes to animate things. He helped us out by drawing it. And it was awesome. It got so much like attention. And yeah, you've definitely got like the Danganronpa community with their eyes on you now, though. So like listeners, when his game comes out, whenever that is, like, take that attention right back to him. Yeah.
Yeah, like I didn't do it for like that reason, but right. I do have to say like a side benefit has been like my Twitter follower, like I gained 7,000 or 8,000 Twitter followers, which is cool. And so there's like a lot, I guess, more people, and hopefully like I engendered enough goodwill that like I would never ask anyone to just buy the game because I made it, but maybe they'll like watch a trailer, and if it's for them, great.
Yeah,
you know, right. That, you know, so, you know, I guess in the end, even from a selfish perspective, it was a good thing to do, but obviously I did it because I was deeply worried about the state of our country. So, you know, that's what I did.
There you go. Well, thanks for doing that. Also, I mean, who knows, it could have played a role, you know. I mean, it definitely right. did. So
I don't want to say I saved America, but no.
I think I saw someone tweet that Byakuya Togami like saved the nation or something. I saw.
I'll allow it.
Naturally. Yeah, no,
everyone Naturally. Was very good sports. I learned a lot about Gen Z. Like, oh, I don't know God. If you guys are borderline Gen Z. I think you're slightly off.
Borderline. The cut.
Yeah, you're borderline, right? Zillennials. Yeah, they love the word POG a lot. There's a lot of poggers, a lot of POG champs, a lot
it
of that.
Means.
The memes are weird as hell, like just real weird. Also, I made a video about this. Like, I don't know if any of you, I did post like a post-mortem video. A lot of sad people, a lot of people asking for just like very basic affirmation. And I of course did all of them, but I was like really worried about some people, and they were all asking. They're like, Byakuya is my comfort character, and I'm going through an incredibly hard time right now, and it just means so much to me for you to say something nice. And I'm like, and of course I did it, like, and I didn't like really respond to these people and begin conversations because there were hundreds and hundreds of them, and I'm not a qualified mental health expert. Part of me is like, do you want to hear this from Togami, because no one's telling you in real life? And I like got really sad at a lot of these, and some of them are just really serious. Like, and like I, and you know, saying Byakuya is your comfort character, I'm like,
he's like a verbally abusive character at times. So I mean, I don't know how I feel about that, but you know, whatever. It's me. It's cool. So there was that. I don't know. I don't really have much else to say other than I'm glad I did it, but I'm glad it's over. And to anyone who sent in and voted, or even just voted in general, thank you for doing it. Like that was the point, and you doing that and taking an active part in your democracy is very important, and I'm happy that you did that. So thanks everyone that voted.
Woo. Yeah, definitely.
Voting's cool.
Voting is cool.
It is.
All right. Let's hop in. We all prepared 16 recommendations for the class of Hope Speak Academy. Is it the 77th class, this one?
Yes.
Yes. No.
Right. Yes.
Maybe. What order do we want to go in?
I don't know.
Should we do death order and then we can just random for the last five?
That sounds good. Okay. We usually do death order.
I don't have that order. I have them in alphabetical, but if you just call it out, I'll make my recommendations. As you might expect, mine is a little game heavy just because of my profession and loves. But I do have some other things here. A couple of books, a couple of documentaries. I also have a double for comedic effect. I do recommend the same thing to two different people. I hope one comes before. Oh no, if you're going in death order, it won't work.
Who is it? And we can put them before.
Because we didn't do death order last time for this one.
What if we did reverse death order?
Matt?
That might be really confusing to keep track
Wait,
of.
That's, but... no, that might be... that's kind of perfect though, because it ends with Tugami.
That, does, okay,
that's a good
go.
Point.
Okay.
It would end with Togami if it was reverse death order.
All right, cool. I guess we could start with Hajime then. Let's start with the protag. Classic. All right.
Do it.
I can go first.
What about the order of us? Like, how do you want to do that?
I went last time.
Do you want to go first?
I think I'm a big deal. Oh, what? No.
You just complained about going last, so clearly
no,
first is the best.
I was excited. Can we rotate? Let's rotate.
Okay.
We'll rotate.
Okay.
Cool. Caroline, you start first.
Yes. Okay, grand. Okay, so for Hajime, I actually picked for him my favorite book that I read in 2020, and it's called The Starless Sea, and it's by Aaron Morgenstern.
Heard about that. Heard
it's a really good book. Highly recommend. I own it. It's on my shelf over here. But I picked this book for Hajime because the main character of this novel, he is very much on the outside of a lot of what's happening. Like, he's experiencing this magical world of the Starless Sea, and this book is like very fantastical, very fantasy, but it doesn't really explain a lot of what's happening, but it all makes sense. It's like one of those books. And Hajime, like this main character, is watching it all from the outside and being guided by a female like counterpart who's kind of like leading him through this world and like helping him understand it. And this main character is also gay. You know, for those who headcanon Hajime and Nagito, there is a little bit of gay action in this book. It's very exciting. But yeah, I picked it for Hajime because I thought he would enjoy the magical nature. And also I think he would relate to the main character because he's sort of on, again, like I said, the outside, always looking in. You know what I'm saying?
On the outside, always looking in. Will I ever be home? And I've always been...
So on that note, can I go next? Because
yes, you may.
My pick for Hajime was actually the musical Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh my god.
Was that an intended lead-in from Caroline? What?
No,
we didn't plan this in advance.
What?
Okay.
That was kind of cool.
Super weird. Super weird. Wait. Okay. Why? Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah. So that was really cool. But okay. So it all leads back. It all starts with a little thing that Caroline and I were doing a couple of months back, where we were creating Danganronpa playlists for like each game. So we did like a playlist for Trigger Happy Havoc, a playlist for Goodbye Despair, a playlist for V3 with 16 songs, like a song for each character. And we like each like made playlists and then sent them to each other, and like we were listening through and like guessing which song was for which character based on like the vibes and the lyrics, and it was really fun. And what was funny was that she and I both chose, she got to it before I did, so I ended up changing my song, but we both chose the song Waving Through a Window from Dear Evan Hansen for Hajime. And it was like, it was cool. It was cool, like brain share moment where we were like, yes, we had the exact same idea, but it like resonated with me for him a lot because of those lyrics, because of like, you know, being on the outside, looking in at all the ultimates, being like, wow, I'm just a reserve course student, or am I? And just kind of feeling like separate from them and trying to do whatever he can do to like get in with the people. But it is also, it's just an amazing musical. I think are all of us here familiar with it, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
saw it.
Yeah, it's so good. It's like my favorite musical ever. Only musical that I've ever seen live that actually made me cry real tears. But yeah.
Instead of fake tears.
Instead of fake tears, yeah. But it's a great show, and it also I think carries like very strong powerful messages about like, you know, no one is alone, and like messages about like hope and but yeah, that's why I chose that for him.
I will admit that I partially fudged this one because I just really wanted to recommend this thing, and there was really no other place to put it. Possibly my favorite game last year, but it's actually, I mean, it's a visual novel, so it's like arguably half book, half game. Hajime, like, it's been the longest since I played DR2, because obviously I played DR3 most recently, and I did go back and I replayed the first one. But if I recall, there was some stuff about like merging with Izuru's identity and then gaining the ability theoretically to use many ultimate talents, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought about games that like would kind of, I guess, reflect that sort of many person nature and many abilities and many talents all kind of existing in a like a singular fashion or a linked merged fashion. And I don't know if any of you played it. Have any of you played 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim?
No, but it's been recommended to me like 3 times. Yeah.
Well, consider it 4, because 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim, it's a Japanese visual novel with some light RTS, real-time strategy mechanics from VanillaWare. It's a beautiful 2D animated game. It takes place in Japan in mostly 1985? And it features mostly 13 characters that you play as. You pick generally which character you're playing as, and you're going through their story. But of course, everything is linked. They all have different abilities. They all have different, you know, they're all like super, super well characterized. The voice acting, the dub is amazing. Like really, really, really talented actors. I don't know. I don't want to like give away too much, just because the game's all about twists and revealing and all the kind of insane interconnected nature of all the different characters. But when I thought of Hajime's, like, you know, merging of all those different talents, I kind of immediately thought of this game. And I also just really wanted to recommend it to everyone who's listening, because it's so good.
I'm actually going to take a different path and ruin a TV show for everyone. So it's The Umbrella Academy. So if you don't want that to be spoiled for you, please take your headphones out. Okay, Maddie's gone. Caroline's gone. Okay, it's just me and Jason. Let's go. Okay.
I've already seen Umbrella Academy.
Love it. It'll be hard. You guys, well, they can't hear this, so I'll come back to that. But so Umbrella Academy is about 6 siblings with 5 with magical powers and 1 girl named Vanya, who is told that she has no ability. And you find out at the end, big spoiler, that she has the most ability of everyone there. And so that just like really reminded me of Hajime, and I felt like he could kind of find a identifying source of Vanya. And so, yeah, I thought he'd enjoy that. Okay. I'm going to give him a thumbs up to come back in. Yeah.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
You guys are going to have to binge that show.
I know. I'm watching it right now.
What?
Listen,
oh, nice.
Right now, Marin. I downloaded it to watch in the car when we were driving to Florida, and I watched Sailor Moon instead. I'm sorry.
Wow, you could have watched Umbrella Academy.
Yeah.
That's all right. Sailor Moon solid.
I'm watching it right now. I'm almost done with season 1.
That's
season 2
all.
Is even
yeah.
better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I did think it was really good. Okay.
Season 2 is better.
Yeah.
All right.
Who's
Hajime off the list, folks. Mm-hmm. Who's next?
Sonia?
Oh, sure. Yeah, sure.
All right, so Maddie will start this one.
Oh, okay. All right, so for Sonia, I picked a book. It is called Devil in the White City. It is a book by...
I picked a book, too. I was, like, really worried.
Oh, gotcha. It is a book by Eric Larson, and it is about the American serial killer H.H. Holmes, who was active in the late 1800s, I think. And it's also... you know, all those events kind of took place around the Chicago like fair thing that was happening. I don't remember exactly what year, And so it's an account of a real historical events, but written in like novel like form. And we know Sonia, our girl, loves true crime. We know she's fascinated by serial killers. So obviously, you know, that's a serial killer. But also I think that she would find the historical aspects of like America in the 1800s and like the Chicago Fair and like all that stuff. I think she would find that really interesting too. So, yeah.
I'll go next. I would be remiss if none of my 16 recommendations didn't include a Brandon Sanderson book. So,
oh, I love Brandon Sanderson.
This one's Warbreaker, which is currently a one-off in the Cosmere, but it does feature two vivacious princesses. And you know what? Sonia, never mind. She is not the traditional princess. She is a princess who takes charge and needs to do something. And Vivenna, specifically the character Vivenna in Warbreaker, is someone who is like extremely dedicated, and she knows that she has to like sacrifice what was going to be an eventually very privileged life to kind of not only save her sister, but deal with these elements at large that are threatening her kingdom. Speaking of killers, that was another reason there are characters, Vasher, Denth, a few others, without getting too spoilery, that are like very, very semi-sadistic and are like they end up, you know, kind of representing the worst. And I think Sonia would be really into that. Basically, it's just a great book with really strong characters. Also, I love Brandon Sanderson, so it was another reason for me to just put something I really love on this list. But if you guys out there haven't read any Sanderson, Warbreaker is a good place to start, or Mistborn, either or.
I also recommended a book. It's kind of a younger read, like younger age read, but it's called A Dog Called Gurk by Joshua Doder. And I read it a long time ago, but I loved it when I read it. And it is about this really normal average kid named Tim who helps these two Eastern European ambassadors' children go on this like secret international mission to like rescue their parents. And I remember when I was younger reading it, and I'd have to go back and read it today to see if it is more of a young read, but I remember thinking it was like the coolest thing, and it was like super like well written. And I just feel like she'd really love kind of the story of people from like just different countries and cultures mixing to go on like a secret mission. And yeah, I thought it might vibe with her.
There you go. For Sonia, I'm sorry to break the book trend, but I picked a play. Sorry, I guess sort of a book if you read it. I picked a play I was in college, and it's called Psycho Beach Party. And it's basically a mix between a 1960s surfer movie and a Hitchcock thriller, in which at the same time, there's a young girl named Chicklet who really wants to be a surfer. And simultaneously, there is these mysterious murders happening on the beach where people are being shaved clean. And wouldn't you know it, the killer, you find this out really early, is Chicklet herself, because she has dissociative identity disorder. And so I think that Sonia would really like this play because it has serial killers. The humor is raunchy and really funny and just like it's cutesy on the surface, but it really gets down into the, you know, the serial killer alter ego is a dominatrix, you know, and so she really is something else, man. And I think she would just really love it because Sonia doesn't care. She loves everything.
Who did you play?
Oh, I played Chicklet.
Oh yeah, okay.
I was gonna say, Caroline, you're being so humble. Like, yeah. I know. I was in the play.
Like, I know.
I was the star, and I played a character with a dissociative identity disorder.
I was really wave fun. Number three.
Oh yeah, no.
I play a wave.
But yeah, she actually has five personalities, so it was a little bit of a trip. But yeah, that's fun time. It's a good play.
All right. Maybe Akane next.
I'm gonna go with gymnast. She's active. I thought, what would really, like, she wants to get out of her seat. And they're, you know, books tend to be pretty passive. TV shows, movies, you're all kind of sitting there, and even games for the most part. But I thought something I really enjoyed this past year, and I really took advantage of this during the pandemic, Ring Fit Adventure. Get up there, folks. Ring Fit Adventure is the bet. I mean, I loved Dance Dance Revolution. Obviously, all those games were great for actually getting up and doing exercise. But Ring Fit Adventure is a full RPG, like, campaign. It's, like, a super good reason to, like, get up and actually do something. There's tons of difficulty levels. It was, like, really, really hard to get at the beginning of the year because so many people wanted it for the lockdown. They, like, couldn't manufacture enough. But if you have a Switch, and I know it's still expensive, I think it costs more than a regular Switch game because it has some hardware, but Ring Fit Adventure is super fun. I thought Akane would really enjoy that because she can get up and move.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I kind of had the same thought of like, I don't think I can give Akane a book. And so I gave her a TV show, which is the Ultimate Ninja Warrior TV reality series. And I really wanted her to like be a participant in it and not just watch it. I don't know if that's allowed to like... put it's her in there. Okay, cool. So Akane's going to be a part of that. But yeah, she would absolutely win. And I think she'd really have a good time.
Good job, buddy. Thank you. I did pick a book.
It could be about training regimens or something. I don't know.
You know,
I don't think you could pick a book. I don't know.
No, but most of the media I consume are books, I would say. So it's harder for me to find something else. But I picked one that is, it's a children's book, but it has a heavier subject matter. So it's shorter, but it's, you know, quicker pace, but it's very good. And it's about, so it's called Dennis Ever After, and it's by Tony Abbott. And it's about this brother who is dead. So there are two brothers and they're twins, and you are seeing it from the perspective of the dead brother, and something's going on in the afterlife where something fishy is going on. And so the dead brother goes to his twin brother in the living and is like, hey dude, help me solve this mystery. And it's very lighthearted, even though the subject matter is really dark. And I kind of like that for Akane because her and Nekumaru have that like brotherly relationship. And I kind of saw it as like them solving that last mystery together, like Nekumaru from the afterlife. I don't know. I was stretching. Yeah. She was the last one I picked.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so I picked a TV show. This recommendation is not a genuine recommendation. This is just a meme. I will say I picked Marin and Caroline will know why, but I'll explain the context for Jason. I picked the show Teen Wolf, and the reason I picked that was because we all have this running joke about the first time I played this game, I was convinced that Akane was a werewolf because of like how she was obsessed with food and how she could like smell blood from like a mile away. And like in her one angry sprite, she looks like she has fangs and like claws or something. And I was like, Caroline, like, is Akane a werewolf? And Caroline was like, lol, yeah, like over text. And I was like, oh my god, she is. Like I was convinced that I was onto something. I really thought that was going to be a thing. Alas, no. But I still have that headcanon that Akane is in fact a werewolf, so I picked a werewolf show.
All right, next we could do Fuyuhiko, who I actually had a really hard time with coming up with something for him. I ended up picking a TV show, which is pretty new in the last few years, but it's called The Politician. And I really, really loved it. But, you know, Fuyuhiko is the leader of the Kuzuryo clan. And I thought, like, maybe he'd want to watch something that, like, had to do with his work, but was not as serious, like a little bit of like a, I don't know, way to kind of relax while staying in the mindset of the leader of a clan. But yeah, that was what I picked for him.
There you go. I also had a hard time with Fuyuhiko. I had a high bar because he's my husbando. So, I had to like,
yeah, that's important.
Pick something good. So I picked a book of poetry and it's called Ghost Of by Diana Coy Nguyen. And I'm just going to give a content warning because I'm going to be talking a little bit about suicide because that's the subject matter of the book. So if that is not your vibe, you can skip like a minute and I'll be done. But basically, this book is a nonfiction work about the author's brother who died and basically cut himself out of the family photos. And she fills in the photos with poetry. And the book is just a really neat like artistic work. And I kind of thought of some parallels between Fuyuhiko and Pekko here because Pekko didn't see herself as part of his life in a lot of ways, even though he saw her as a big part of his. And so, you know, in this way of like sort of she cutting herself out of his life as like not being important, I thought that maybe he would find some solace in reading this book after her passing and like knowing that like she did fill those gaps, even though she may not have thought that she did, if that makes sense. So yeah, it's a really beautiful book. Highly recommend. But sorry to bring the mood down. But
wow.
Good book. That sounds really interesting, though.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I'm like, whew, emotional right now. My pick for Fuyuhiko is not as deep, but I am proud of it. I picked a TV show, and this the show that I picked is called Leverage, and it is one of my favorite shows of all time. And I just thought, because, you know, for him coming from like the Yakuza background, I thought he'd be interested in something that kind of like was like crime thriller-y-ish kind of thing. But Leverage is a show about, for anyone who doesn't know, it is a show about a group of con artists who like pull off these really, really elaborate cons and like all these things. But they do it to like get revenge on like, or not like revenge necessarily, but they're kind of like a Robin Hood style sort of thing. Like they go and like con these like corporations or people who are like doing really bad things, or like, you know, people who deserve it or whatever. And it's really cool. It's a very cool show. I thought he would like that a lot.
You guys repeatedly said that you had trouble with this one, but this was like the most obvious one for me, and I almost feel bad that I picked something so obvious. There's a really good video game series called the Yakuza series, and Yakuza Zero is a very recent one. It came out last year, and it's probably the best entry in the series. It was probably one of my other favorite games of last year. It's mostly like, people have said it's like the Grand Theft Auto of Japan, but not really. It has more like role-playing, it has more RPG elements. It has this like, it does an amazing job of balancing like silly aspects and serious aspects and still telling a great story. And like Marin said earlier, like having kind of something that's related to his work, but a less like serious kind of version of that might be really nice for him. So for me, this one was like the easiest one, where I was like, okay, got it, next. Like I was going through these. So yeah, that's, I mean, the obvious answer, but I'm glad no one else, I was like, someone else is gonna have said that, but no one did.
We made it too hard on ourselves.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you guys made it too hard.
I didn't want to pick any, like that video game occurred to me, but I didn't want to pick anything that I hadn't already played myself. Like I haven't played that game. And so I,
that's true. Yeah. Everything here I have personally either read, watched, or played.
Yeah. So.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Last is Kazuichi. Right? Yeah.
Okay. Oh my God. I picked this 15 minutes ago because I couldn't think of anything. I feel so bad, but I picked the movie Animal House. Because
what? No, I picked for another character.
You're kidding. That's
I picked Animal House for another character.
I picked it because the other day in our Patreon Discord server, we were talking about, like, you know, I picked, did I pick a Grease? Oh, no. So anyway, Maddie and I do these playlists. We talked about it earlier. Mine are all musical theater because I feel like musical theater is a great canon to analyze Danganronpa, you know, because it's over the top. So is anime. But one of our patrons was like, oh, what if there was like Grease Lightning, but it was like all the lads, like Kazuichi and like Hajime and like all the guys. And I was like thinking about that, and I was like, well, what about like Animal House? And so I was like, Kazuichi would be in a frat. So that's why I picked it.
Actually, I got very excited because I heard, sorry, I actually did not pick Animal House. I picked something else that I'll get to it later. Don't worry about
okay,
it.
Okay. That's so funny. Yeah.
Never mind.
Lads
sorry.
Being lads, the movie.
I got really excited, and I picked Animal World for something else, and I should not have reacted that way. I just got really excited. But we'll get to that later. For Kazuichi, who is the ultimate mechanic, like I tried to think of something that I thought would be good for his personality specifically, because it's, I think it's very unique among the Danganronpa characters in this game. But ultimately, there was one game that just kept jumping to mind, and it's Factorio. There's a series of games called Zachtronic games that are very unique. They focus on, like, they're puzzle games, but they're puzzle games where you have to, like, find the most efficient way to make something or code something or put something together. One is called Space Chem. One is called TIS 100. But I think one of the best of these types of games is Factorio, where you, like, create these interlocking factories that, like, manufacture components and materials, and then you create pipelines, move them to other factories, and it has to be like super efficient, and it just keeps growing and growing and growing across this entire map. And I kind of tried to think of something else, but it just kept dominating my thoughts, and eventually I was like, it has to be Factorio, just because of his, you know, mechanical background and how much I think he would like get super into that game. So
nice.
It's Factorio.
Heck yeah,
that's super cool. Yeah, I my pick for Kazuichi is like, It's one that I was kind of just like, I just went based on a vibe. I was like, I don't have any particular good reasoning for it at all. I struggled to come up with something for him. But I picked It's another TV show. I picked Doctor Who, actually, for Kazuichi. He just strikes me as someone who'd be a Doctor Who fan. I can't really put my finger on why. But,
no, I'm with you.
But kind of get those vibes. Yeah, and like sci-fi, I think he'd be into the whole sci-fi thing. And yeah, I think he'd enjoy it. I am a huge Doctor Who fan, or at least I used to be when I was younger. I haven't caught up on any of the more recent seasons, but it's a good show.
Who's your favorite Doctor?
10.
Okay. David Tennant. David Tennant is 10, right?
Just yes.
Okay, cool.
Tennant.
Tennant. Oh,
okay. All right.
Maren, you can go.
All right. Anyways, for Kazuichi, I picked the video game Among Us. I think I talked about it a little bit in our chapter 4 analysis, but throughout that entire chapter, he goes around being like, you're acting kind of suspicious right now, and like, I don't know, you're kind of sus, and it's like exactly what that gameplay is like. So I just think I could totally see him just running around the little map, having fun. Yeah.
Good pick.
Thank you.
Good pick.
All right. Up next is Chiaki. And Maddie, you're up.
Nice. Okay. What did I pick for Chiaki? I don't even remember. Oh, okay. This is another one. I don't have a super strong rationale behind this, but I picked Fangirl, the book by Rainbow Rowell, for Chiaki. I mean, being a huge like gamer, it seems like she would maybe relate to the main character of this book, because the book centers around like this college girl who basically her whole thing is she writes fan fiction, and it's like Harry Potter fan fiction, but it's not Harry Potter, it's like off-brand Harry Potter for like copyright reasons. But yeah, she just like immerses herself in these fictional worlds, and it like plays such a huge role in her like identity and whatnot, and I thought maybe Chucky could relate to that.
I realized as I was choosing here that I couldn't pick a game, because I would just be like mansplaining to the ultimate gamer. She already knows every game. So like, I couldn't pick that. And I thought about in film, like there are so many like game movies, you know, and adaptations, like Street Fighter is fun to watch because of Raul Julia, but like, it's not a good movie. So I didn't want to pick that. And I thought about my favorite like video game esque movie. And I love Scott Pilgrim. Scott Pilgrim Saves the World, 2010. Like, it's not technically from a video game. In fact, a video game was made about the movie, which was very good as well. But like, it just feels like it. All of the effects and the directing from Wright was just so good. I just think she would enjoy that a lot and feel like she could relate to it very well.
So I decided to mansplain a video game.
No, you're not.
You are a whammy.
I decided to whammansplain a game.
Whammansplain.
So I was like, okay, I wanted to pick a video game because I was like, I have to pick like the best video game for Chiaki. I was like, what's like a great game for her to play? Like something that would be like something that we would make a podcast about. And so I
is it Danganronpa?
Yeah.
So wait, you're kidding.
No, I assigned her own craft to Chiaki.
Wait, like Danganronpa is your pick for Chiaki. Mm-hmm.
Meta as heck.
Wow, man.
That's incredible. That's incredible. We can all go home tonight.
Yeah, anyways,
that was a good pick.
That was fun.
That was a good pick. All right. That was a good pick.
Well, I mean, okay, so can't top that, but I picked a book and it's called, I just finished this book and I knew I was going to pick it for Chiaki as soon as I finished it. It's called Ava by Carol Masso, and it's this experimental fiction book. And check out Carol Masso. She is an underrated author. She is so freaking good. But this book follows the journey of a woman who, in the scenario of the book, she's dying, she's passing away, and she's sort of just musing about her life and the impact she had on the people around her, because she is finding console in that, and like knowing her life is going to end, and like trying to find like and grasp at any meaning she can have like to help the people that she was once with or once a part of. And so I know it's interesting, but she like, you know, that's her role in the game, is she's like the one who impacts people without them knowing. And that's kind
so
of
so good.
Thank you. It's a Wonderful Life, anyone? No, just kidding. But yeah, all right. Good job.
Cool.
Is Nagito.
Oh.
Mm. Mm. I'll go first this time. This was the one that I thought, because I just heard Animal and then got completely confused. I watched this movie 4 days ago. on a, like, all of us were kind of like, so I live with some roommates, and we were just like sort of overwhelmed with the stuff happening in the Capitol. And we were like, let's just, does anyone have like a dumb movie they want to watch? So we were scrolling through Netflix, and we found this movie, Animal World, which is based off of a Japanese manga, but it was done by a Chinese movie production company, and then Tencent funded it. Animal World is wild. I didn't know anything about it, and I do think that's the best way to go into it. But I guess I have to talk about it a little bit. Basically, this guy gets captured for some reason and gets put on a boat with a bunch of other people that have been captured, and it's this game where it has like very specific rules, but it's literally rock, paper, scissors. So they get 12 cards. Four of them are rock, four of them are paper, four of them are scissors, and you can go and challenge anyone you want at a table. You both pull down a card, you both flip them over. If you win, you take one of the other person's stars. The rules are you have to finish with 3 stars or above, and you must use all of the cards in your possession, or you'll basically be killed. But there are a bunch of like weird rules where you can like buy stars or cards if you have enough other stuff. And then, so like, obviously this came to mind with Nagi-Do, because you'd think that rock, paper, scissors is just pure luck. Like, there's no strategy here. You're going to put down a card, the other person's going to put down a card, and you're just going to hope for the best. But it turns out that like, that's not precisely the case. And the way the main character kind of like thinks about the situation and deals with the like specifics of the rules is really, really interesting. And also, it's just a wild movie, and it's full of crazy people. And also, the main character specifically is crazy, self-admitted. He's like, I'm a crazy person. He sees this like killer clown sometimes when he gets mad. This is my best fitting pick of everything on here. Animal World is Nagito in a movie. It also, weirdly, despite being a completely Chinese movie in every other aspect, stars Michael Douglas for no reason. He just shows up and he speaks English. It's real weird. Anyway, Animal World. It's on Netflix. Super fun.
That reminds me of in The Politician, like what I recommended for Fuyuhiko in season 2, when they're talking about rock, paper, scissors and the strategies. And they're like, 60% of people lead with rock, so you need to lead with paper, but they'll think you're leading with paper, so you lead with scissors. But if they lead with scissors, the next time go with paper. It's like, oh, it's so chaotic. Yeah. So I picked a book for Nagito. I picked The Bad Beginning, A Series of Unfortunate Events, #1 by Lemony Snicket. Yeah,
nice.
Because that series is like an entire series about characters who deal with luck, like unfortunate events, but they actually sometimes work in the kid's favor. And so it's kind of just like luck in one form or another that you can't really describe as bad or good sometimes, which is pretty much Nagito's whole existence, is like he has bad luck sometimes, but it can lead him to, you know, like better events. Like there's always the example, I think we talk about it in our Nagito character analysis, where like it's all perception, and like let's say you're late for work, but that stops you from being killed by an avalanche. Like that's good luck, even though it feels bad. And so yeah.
Nice.
That, yep.
Cool. Good job.
Thanks.
We'll never top the Dear Evan Hansen transition.
I know.
No, we started off real strong on that one.
That was incredible. Wow.
That was pretty great.
Yeah.
So for Nagito, I had a tough time, but I was really excited because I thought of this and I was like, yes. I picked The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald, taking a totally different lens with Nagito and thinking about him as Nick and his fixation on The Great Gatsby and how he's gay. And a lot of people headcanon that he's gay for Gatsby. And I think that this is Nagito to all the Ultimates, but especially Hajime. Until he finds out Hajime is a reserve student, then he hates him. But, you know, we're going to ignore that part. Yeah, so that's why I picked him for him. Also, I don't know, I feel like it feels right.
I barely feel like that's headcanon. I feel like that's just, like, mostly
canon. It's true, canon. Right? I mean, it's
yeah,
got to be true.
I mean, like, it's, yeah.
Yeah. I went in a little bit of a different direction for Nagito, but I actually, when I was thinking about what to choose for him, I was thinking back to what we talked about a lot in our character analysis episode, and about his frontotemporal dementia that he has, that you learn about through his free time events. And I was like, brain stuff, you know, I love brains. We're going to go with that. So I picked the book Brain on Fire by Susanna, I think it's Kahalin. I don't exactly know how to pronounce that last name, but this is Actually, so this is a book about a woman who has a very rare autoimmune disorder that attacks her brain. And fun fact, full disclosure, I actually also have an autoimmune disorder that attacks my brain that I had when I was younger, and I'm Gucci now. But yeah, it was like, for me, it was really interesting, and it felt reassuring to read a book that, like, of somebody else's story who had gone through something similar and was like, hey, I came out okay. And so, you know, it's not the same thing as what Nagito has. His is very much like, you know, I mean, if frontotemporal dementia is like, it's terminal, so it's not like it can just be cured. But I thought it was like interesting to read and to be like, you know, you're whatever you got going on, you're not alone in it. And just kind of relating the brain stuff to his situation.
Maddie, can I just say that I watched, or no, I read that book after you told me you had an autoimmune disorder in like freshman year of high school or whatever. Really? I remember reading that because you were like, yeah, check out this, and like, you know, and it'll explain what it is. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know you'd ever read it.
Caroline, have you read every book?
That's a yes for Marin.
Yeah, I feel like I read more than most people, but I feel like I also don't hold a candle to you.
Except, boy, howdy. Caroline has not read I Am Number 4.
I have not.
You haven't?
No.
Okay, hold on.
Whoa, Jason. Whoa.
It's a good book. Okay, it's a good book, but like... I don't know. I wouldn't have that reaction.
We just have a running joke about that. Like,
it's not the best thing I've ever read, but it's just like, it's like a classic.
It's just like a YA.
Yeah, Marin, I was going to ask you, is it YA?
Well, you know, some people like YA.
Well, then, Marin, I don't like YA, so no wonder.
It's YA. Like, it's decent as far as YA goes, but like, I don't know. I was like, whatever. No. Some offense? I don't know.
Well, I'm sure some of our listeners like.
I know. Honestly, my visceral hatred is not helping us, honestly.
I don't have visceral hatred of YA. I'll say that. I don't know. It's fine.
I'm sorry. Okay. All right.
Are we good to move to Gundam?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll start this one because I don't feel good about this. I feel like I didn't do Gundam justice in my pick, but I just could not think of anything for him, to be completely honest. So I ended up picking the book Savvy by Ingrid Michaelson. I think that's how you pronounce her name.
I love that book.
It's Ingrid Nielsen. Ingrid Michaelson's the singer.
Oh,
fair.
Yeah, but I picked it because in the book, it kind of felt like an opposite to Gundam, in that in Savvy, it's about a lot of kind of like average people who have really cool talents, but they keep them hidden from the world. And Gundam is kind of a character who, like, you know, like we debate in our group if Gundam is like actually magical or not, but he's kind of like this boisterous character who, like, you know, like doesn't try and keep anything hidden. And so I thought it was just kind of like a counter to his character in a way that could be interesting, but yeah.
All right. Well, I will go next. So when thinking about Gundam, I didn't think a book would do him justice. So I actually don't have a book for this one.
You love books.
I know. But I turned to my second love, which is musical theater, and I decided to pick a musical. You know, I know, guys, it comes up rarely, but here we are.
Are you a musical theater?
Are you? Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Please don't talk about it. Dark side. Oh my God. No, I'm just kidding. But so I was thinking about Gundam, and he's very dramatic, and musicals are very dramatic. And then I thought, what is the most dramatic kind of musical? And it's the mega musical. Obviously, which is a movement in the 1980s. Every musical you've ever heard of, Cats, Andrew Lloyd Webber's musicals, Cats is one of them, Jesus Christ Superstar, all of them are mega musicals. But another one is Les Mis, baby. And I only picked this one because the song The Confrontation, just the heightened like Valjean, like it's like they're singing everything that they mean, and it's so dramatic, even though the story is actually really meaningful and really good. But I saw that for him, like he talks like that all the time. Anyway, totally why I picked it. It's a bad choice probably, but it's okay. No,
that's so
fine,
valid.
Stop, it's a great choice and it's valid. Okay.
Yes.
You are valid.
Thank you.
It is my dream to do that song like karaoke. Like that's the dream.
It's an achievable dream. Admittedly, not right now, but like right. You can go do that Marin, in normal circumstances.
Yeah. That'll be like the first thing I do.
The first thing you do once you get vaccinated, Marin.
Yeah, you get back going to karaoke and singing Les Mis.
So I'm actually kind of proud of my pick for Gundam. I picked a video game, and I picked Far Cry Primal, which...
Ooh, good choice.
It's a good game. It's... like it's this massive like open world like kind of survival-y kind of like the Far Cry games are like shooter games, but Far Cry Primal is like you're like a cave person and like it's like prehistoric, so there are no actual guns, and it's but it's very interesting. And the reason I picked this game for Gundam is because my favorite part of the game, my favorite aspect of it, was that you get to like tame like wild animals. Like you get to have like your wild beasts as your like companions, and you can have like a wolf or like a panther or a grizzly bear that's like, you know, running around at your side and it does whatever you tell it to do. And so I thought that Gundam would very much enjoy that.
I love Far Cry Primal. It's really good.
Good game.
The trailer for Far Cry 6 looks amazing. It has Giancarlo Esposito in it. Anyway,
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's really cool. This was my hardest one at first, because like I wanted to, at first I thought like, okay, Ultimate Breeder, and I thought like Golden Compass, but I don't know. I don't really think anything Golden Compass like matches his personality, you know, like it's kind of like a more quiet sort of world. And then I thought like, okay, is there a game? And then I thought like Nintendogs, but I was like, no, that game's just like really cute. And like, it doesn't really have any like sort of magical boisterous properties. And then I thought of a game that I'm not sure if it predates Nintendogs, but in 2006, Rare, who at the time wasn't really making much because they got bought out by Microsoft, released a game on the Xbox 360 called Viva Pinata. Viva Pinata is the game that I chose, in which you breed animals, but they're pinatas, and it's like super bright and super colorful and super weird. and like, if you have not seen Viva Pinata, it's definitely worth like looking up just, like, a quick trailer for Viva Pinata. It's so stupid but so fun. And when I say the phrase "so stupid but so fun," I think of Gundam.
Right.
So I went with Viva Pinata for Gundam.
I kind of love the Nintendogs. I might adopt that as my answer.
Nintendogs is still a good answer.
Like, yeah. Couldn't you just, when you first get Nintendogs and you like load up the game, you pick a dog and then you like have to say its name over and over again. And couldn't you just see Gundam with the DS like, jumpy, jumpy.
Yeah. Oh. You would do that.
All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick break. But before we do, we want to know, what do you think of these book recommendations we've been throwing out? Let us know by tweeting at us at Ultra Hope Girls Podcast. We're also Ultra Hope Girls Podcast on Facebook, on Instagram. And yeah, and if you want to help us out and become a patron, we so appreciate it. The lowest tier is just $2 a month and you unlock a bunch of extra bonus content. So definitely recommend. But yeah, we'll be right back after the break. Hello, everybody. Caroline here with a pretty exciting announcement. So I, separate from the other Ultra Hope girls, am offering some online virtual classes in things such as writing, because, you know, I'm the ultimate literary girl, and performing, and also some clubs and classes virtually via my own school, which I founded, called the Spilling Ink School. You can check that out at thespillinginkschool.com. I'm offering tutoring and college essays. I'm offering, you know, piano classes and all that jazz. So definitely check it out. It's a good time. And I will also be offering some clubs and classes that are Danganronpa related via OutSchool. So I'll keep the links all in the description. They are for people under 18, so ask your parents before checking it out. But yeah, I'm excited to potentially have some listeners in my classes, and I wanted to let you know that that's going on. So thanks so much in advance for checking it out, and I look forward to teaching some of you.
That's so great. Right.
Up next is Nekomaru. Yeah.
Well, if anyone tuned in to our chapter 4 analysis, you will know what book I'm about to talk about. So I'm going to be talking about Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, because about, you know, the conversation of who is the monster and who is the man and all that stuff. Because a lot of people comment on how Nekomaru's robot appearance is very monstrous, but The real monster is the person who made him that way, Monokuma, aka in Frankenstein, Victor Frankenstein, not the monster. So yeah, it's a good book. It's highly recommend, sci-fi OG, like, love it if you haven't read it. Really good.
It's a classic, definitely.
It is a classic.
It is actually a classic, but it's also classic.
Some people say it's the first sci-fi, but didn't Ada Lovelace write something before that? Or Ava Lovelace? I forget. Like, what's
need
considered
to look
like
up the year.
The, like, first sci-fi book, but yeah.
That would be an honor to create a genre of book. Right? Maybe that'll be my new goal. First karaoke, then create a new book.
Then create a new genre. Yeah, yeah.
So my pick for Nekomaru, I also chose a book, and I chose the book Unbroken by Laura Hillenbrand. And this is the story of it. It's a true story, and they made a movie of it a few years back. I never saw the movie, but the book was really good. And it is a story of, I cannot remember his name, but a man who was basically, oh God, I can't even remember which war it was. I think it was World War II, and he was captured and, like, basically taken to a Japanese, like, concentration camp for, like, prisoners of war. And, like, it's his story of, like, the horrible, horrible things that he went through, and, like, how hard he, like, fought to stay alive, and, like, he wanted to get back to his family, and, like, just, and then a little bit about, like, when he finally did get home, and, like, his recovery, and just what that was like. It's a very it's a very heavy book. It's not like a light read at all, but it's a very good story. And it's just like a story about, like, you know, personal strength and, like, overcoming adversity and just that kind of thing, which I think Nekomaru would appreciate. We stand Nekomaru here in this house. He's an awesome guy. And he, I think, has a, like, I think a lot of people, like, think he's just, like, a meme character that, like, is funny, but he also, I think, in my opinion, has, like, a lot of depth to him, and I think he would appreciate a book like this.
At first, I thought Moneyball because of the team manager thing, but I had to go key into the robot thing, and I'm like, there's obviously a lot of existential, you know, questions about what is a human and what is a personality and where does that personality live. I'm going with Blade Runner 2049, folks, not the OG. Blade Runner 2049, a masterpiece of directing. If you think it's too slow, you don't appreciate American cinema. I love Blade Runner 2049. I love the whole series. I love, like, the questions it asks about what does it mean to be human and what does it mean? I mean, does this really have to do with his personality? Not directly, I admit that. But, like, you know, just the concept of becoming Mekamaru or whatever, and that whole sequence, like, just reminded me very much about the questions asked in that series. So if you haven't seen Blade Runner 2049, go watch it. The end.
Oh, wait, quick question. Jason, have you played the game Soma?
I have not. I do know of it. But
okay. I'm just very curious. That was something I was considering choosing for Nekomaru. We talked about it also in on a different episode of our podcast. I talked so much about that game. I talk about it all the time. But It's a good one. I definitely recommend that. But I didn't recommend it to Nekomaru because I don't know if he'd like a horror game. But
oh, it's a horror game? I don't know.
It is. It's so good though, like the ending. Ooh. Anyway, I'm sorry. Maren, you can go.
So my choice for him is a TV show, and it's a little bit different of a vibe. I picked Queer Eye More Than a Makeover because Nekomaru spends his entire life helping other people succeed in all aspects of their life. And what other television show does that as well? I was like, this is perfect. Yeah, so
would love that show.
He would love it. It's a good show.
Yeah. He would love that show.
That's the best recommendation of the four. I think that was really good.
Thank you. All right, up next is Mekon.
And Maddie, fittingly, you will go first.
Oh. Oh my gosh. Okay. For Mekon, I chose a Netflix original show called Diagnosis. This is really the only, like, medical show that I've ever, like, watched. It's a nonfiction show. It's like a docuseries. I never was into medical dramas or anything. It's the only, like, real medical show that I've watched, but it was really good. It was very interesting. It's a show about, like, a lot of like, people who are, like, medical mysteries, and, like, the diagnosis is, like, the doctors can't figure out what's going on. And so it's this one woman who is a doctor and a journalist, and she crowdsources diagnoses for like her patients who are like very difficult to diagnose. So she will send out a query to like the internet, like everywhere, and like people all around the world, whether they're scientists or doctors or therapists or just people who've had personal experiences with something, will set, like read the case file of this like patient and whatever they're experiencing, and like send in a memo about what they think the diagnosis might be. And then using that method, they've actually been able to successfully like help out a lot of people. It's very interesting. And so being the ultimate nurse, I thought Mekon would enjoy watching that.
She would enjoy that. And then after she was done watching an episode, she would enjoy the best medical video games of all time, Trauma Center Under the Knife and Trauma Center 2. there was this weird phase in the late like aughts of like Nintendo DS games making games about like normal professions, but gamifying them, like Phoenix Wright, obviously, is an example, and like Hotel Dusk being a detective and whatever. Trauma Center was a series about you as a surgeon, but it had a weird sci-fi virus happening. And yes, it's not super precise. Like you would inject green gel to recover patients' vitals as opposed to like actually, I don't know, doing stuff. But it used the touchscreen and the microphone in really fun ways. Like you would use the stylus as a variety of tools, whether it be a scalpel or a suture or like a lot of really cool different things. And it got super difficult, which was really fun for me because I tend to be a little bit of like a masochistic gamer in terms of difficulty. But yeah, they're just that one. This one was pretty obvious to me just because I really love those games and they're the only like medical games that I really know.
I picked a movie for Mekon to enjoy after the TV, after the video game. it is the incredible movie Knives Out, which is...
Love Knives Out!
Yeah! And the main character is a nurse, and it's a murder mystery movie. And so I just thought, you know, I know a nurse who was in a murder mystery visual novel. So let's have her watch this. Yeah!
You're the nurse, Maren.
Yeah.
That's good.
Rian Johnson like nailed that movie so hard. I loved it.
Oh yeah. It was so good. I was like, it's a nurse. I was so excited in the theater.
guys, she's a nurse.
Guys, she's like me.
Everyone's like, stop.
Man, I'm trying to watch the movie. My choice is 1,000,000 Lovely Letters by Jodi Ann Bickley. It's a book that she will enjoy after watching and playing and TV showing. Watching a TV show. And it's a nonfiction book about this woman who was terminally ill, but she miraculously survived. But she started this movement where she was like, I want to make a difference in people's lives. So I'm just going to write letters to people who need to get a letter. And it was like kind of amazing because she like beyond what doctors expected lived because of like, and they think it's because of like this sort of thing that she motivated herself to do. And so I think Mekon would kind of like that. It's a non-traditional, you know, story of like an uplifting experience rather than like a sad experience of being a nurse. So yeah,
nice. All right, up next is Hiyoko.
Oh god.
Jason, I think you're first.
I am first. I had some difficulty with this one eventually. So like, yeah, she's the ultimate traditional dancer and she's like very innocent and well, you know, but I watched Blackpink Light Up the Sky, a documentary about the Korean pop group Blackpink, because I think it's really important that Hiyoko Sionji, a traditional dancer, get into the modern world a little bit. You know, like I really respect the traditions of Japan and her dancing and her background, but she needs to really experience the latest in, you know, not only culture but just like the newest dance moves. And I have to say the choreography for Blackpink, the production value around them, everything is top notch. I'm a Jisoo fan for the record if anyone's wondering, but yeah, it was really interesting to like watch. Like there's this crazy, they don't focus on it too much in the documentary because it's clearly like very heavily produced by like, it's clearly approved by everyone, it's not like a guerrilla journalism type of thing, but there's this like crazy camp that like 11-year-old Korean girls get sent to, and then they like live their entire lives in this like 14 a day ultra training regimen, hoping to get like chosen to be assembled into a group. And like girls get eliminated all the time and they get sent home and their whole like lives are ruined at that point. And it's like really weird and bad. But then ultimately these four like make it and they become Blackpink, who are these, I don't know if you guys listen to Blackpink, but I really like them. But yeah, I chose Blackpink Light Up the Sky.
Nice. I picked a video game for Hiyoko. I picked Doki Doki Literature Club. Incredible game. Honestly, in my top five video games ever. Maybe, yeah, up there. But I love the game. It is a very cutesy, let's join a book club.
Nothing bad happens.
Yeah,
nothing bad happens.
Yeah, super, super easy to play.
Nothing bad happens.
But it's super, like simple and cute and Hiyoko, like, on the outside. But then, you know, you play the game and it is a horror game. And Hiyoko isn't necessarily, like, horror on the inside, but like if you look at like Mahiru's memorial, it's very dark, and you know there's smoke and skulls and whatever, and I think she kind of has that, like some of the things she says are very like pointed and aggressive, and so I think she does kind of have that dark twist to her within the quirky, like fun, bubbly exterior.
Everyone listening, Marin's lying. There is no dark twist.
Yeah,
there's no horror.
I was just
it's
kidding.
Just a regular fun time in literature.
Write some poems.
You write some poems. Yeah, that's all that happens. But you should play it though.
Agreed. Yes.
Definitely. I might. We'll see. Oh, I don't know if I can do it, honestly.
Sure you can. You love poems. I already know you recommended
a
book of poetry.
Don't joke about it. Oh my God. I don't know if I can.
Poems.
Do it. It's okay. I hate writing poetry. I'm just kidding. Okay. Okay. So for Hiyoko, I picked a book called Ballet Shoes by Noelle Streetfield. I don't know how to pronounce the last name, but this book is about three sisters who are all adopted, and it's just about their trials and tribulations. It kind of feels like an Anne of Green Gables or a Little Women, you know, it's kind of in that same vibe. But I think that Hiyoko could learn a little bit from the conflict resolution that happens in this book. Also, there is some dancing in it, so I think she would like that too. But I think she needs to learn how to express her feelings a little bit more productively. So
that's a fair point.
Yeah.
That is actually a great segue into my recommendation, because my pick for Hiyoko is the Disney movie Inside Out.
Oh my God.
We love learning about how to, you know, positively express and regulate our emotions. No. So I had such a hard time with Hiyoko, and I was like trying to think like, oh my God, like what would she like? I don't know anything about like dancing or like any books or movies like related to it. I went and I looked back for a couple of these characters at their little like report cards from the game, because it says like their likes and dislikes. Hiyoko, under her likes, it just says squish squishy. So I didn't really know what to do with that, but I was like, okay, what's something like that just feels like squishy, you know? And I was like, I got to think of like a Disney Pixar movie here. Like, that's what I got to go with. And then I thought of Inside Out and I was like, I think that could work. So
that movie does have like a squishy vibe.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Next is Ibuki. For Ibuki, I wanted to pick something that was chaotic and had music in it. So I picked the critically acclaimed TV show Glee.
Nice.
I don't think
it's such a good pick. But like Ibuki would hate it. She would never be on that show.
I know, but like on a surface level, I feel like it's the perfect show for her, but I don't think she would like it. I don't know. I just, yep. So that's what you missed on Glee.
She'd hate watch it. She'd hate watch it.
Yep.
Oh my God. So similarly to Marin, I wanted to pick something that was chaotic and had music in it. So I picked the film Eurovision.
Yes! Yeah! Rise the Fire Saga, let's
yes,
go!
It's the best movie! Oh my God, but yeah.
Shockingly good songs in that movie.
So
like,
good.
They
I,
are great.
I run to those songs. Like
Volcano so Man rules.
Yes. It's
Volcano Man!
Oh my God. But yeah, nothing more to be said there.
It yeah, just, no, that's...
I also have very little to say about the one I chose. I feel like I'm on a similar wavelength as Marin with this one, but I chose Mamma Mia, either the musical or the movie, either one.
ABBA got their start in Eurovision in the 70s. That's where they came on.
Yeah, true. Nadia, I was going to say, like, brother.
Our transitions. Wow.
We're like,
yeah, we're killing it.
Vibing. This is perfect. All right. Yeah, that's all. That's all I got there.
For me, I went the highbrow route. I thought, who is a musician that I think Ibuki could really learn from, you know? And I thought about David Bowie. And I actually read a biography called Strange Fascination by David Bowie. It was like a long, it came out like a while ago. This might have been 7 or 8 years ago. I remember it being a shockingly good book. And like he curated this like air of mystery and everyone was so like eager to try and peel it back. He was like a master of kind of creating this like persona and this, you know, front-facing thing to the world. And like Ibuki Miyota, she's got the talent, but does she have the marketing? Does she have the ability to sell herself to the world? She's a little rough around the edges. I think she could learn a lot from that book. Mm-hmm. Really interesting book.
Yeah. Mic drop.
If you're into David Bowie, check it out.
All right. Up next is Pekko.
We have four more, right?
Yes. Pekko, five. Mahiru, Teruteru, and Byakuya.
Okay. So for Pekko, I picked my favorite Jane Austen novel, which is Sense and Sensibility. And I picked this for her because the main character, Eleanor, is very reserved and she is sense in the Sense and Sensibility title of the book. There's a small spoiler for the ending about to come here but this book is like hundreds of years old. So
yeah, if you're not, we're spoilers have expired.
Spoiler alert. Like Sense and Sensibility. But at the very end, so she is pining after this guy who she thinks she is not good enough for. And she's very like, you know, realistic. And she's told herself that they're never going to end up together. And at the very end of the book, he's like, but Eleanor, I'm in love with you and I want to marry you. And she just like the whole exterior of her, like serene thing breaks down and she starts crying and like weeping like because she loves him so much, and I just was like, yeah, so that's why I picked it. Wow.
So I love that.
I picked a book called, and this is a book that I actually recommended to you, Caroline, I think very briefly at one point. I was like, oh, I think you'd really like this book. It is called In the Time of the Butterflies, and it is by Julia Alvarez. And it is based on a true story, and is about a bunch of, I think it's four sisters in this family, in the Dominican Republic under the dictatorship. And I don't remember exactly what time period that was, but, it is a really, really good book. It's just like this really, really gripping and very, very sad, but very touching story about like this family and like their bonds with each other, and also like the people that they love and like the sacrifices that they will make for the people that they love when, you know, a lot is at stake and when there is, you know, forces beyond their control. And it's, yeah, that's, I know that's a vague description, but I don't want to spoil anything, and it just feels like Pekko would very much relate to that.
In the Time of the Butterflies is the most book name of a book I've ever heard.
Really? Okay.
So real.
It's just 100% book title. Right
there. Wow. I see what you mean.
Yeah. I chose, so honorable mention to Kill Bill. I was going to pick Kill Bill here, but I thought of a better one. It's an anime film called Sword of the Stranger. And I will say, it, first of all, is one of the most beautifully animated films of all time. I do not say that lightly. I've seen a whole bunch of animated films. This one is unbelievable animation, but it comes down to like Pekko being very loyal, and it comes down like, obviously, yes, sword, whatever, swordswoman, but like I think the main character, I think is Nana, it means like no name or something. It's like Nana Vess or I forget, but I think they like, he and his journey like really represent like, I think, Pekko's inner qualities, which I think the game did a really, if I recall correctly, it has been about like four or five years since I played, but like the game did a shockingly good job like characterizing her, almost to me like more depth than almost any of the other characters in the game, minus maybe Nagito and Chiaki. And I thought like it's a very like, I think it's billed to a lot of people as like a like, oh, awesome sword fighting movie, and yes, it does have some great mechanics, but it's mainly about the main character and his relation with like an orphan boy and this like undying loyalty that he shows. And I think Pekko would really relate to it.
Yeah. Again, mine's a little bit less serious, but I think she'd really like it. It's a video game through the VR headset called Beat Saber.
Mm.
Because I could really just see Pekko attaching the nunchucks to like her like staff and going to town. You know, if you haven't played the game before, it's like these like colorful cubes come at you with like arrows and you have to slice them in a certain way to the beat of a song, beat, saber. And like, yeah, it was the only video game I could think that like really directly applied to your talent, but yep.
I love beat
saber. Yes.
I'm very like I had a whole phase with beat saber.
Are you as good as Pekka would be though?
Pekka is the ultimate swordswoman, so absolutely not. However, I am very good at it. I can expert plus most songs.
Oh, what?
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Oh, is it me next?
Yes, for Mahiru.
Mahiru. Yeah, so I chose a book for Mahiru. I chose, she definitely strikes me as a person who would be a bookworm, possibly. And I chose the book I Am Malala by Malala Yousafzai. The true story of, you know, Malala, who I think everyone pretty much knows who she is at this point, but, you know, she was shot by the Taliban on a bus to school one day. She has been an advocate for girls and women's education, and, you know, just equal rights and like all that stuff, has been like a world leader. Just, she's an amazing, amazing person. And her autobiography is very good. And it is a powerful, inspiring story of a powerful, inspiring woman. And so I think Mahiru would appreciate that.
I'm going last on this one.
Ooh,
Okay.
No, not for any like hardcore reason. I feel like there's going to be a double. Anyway, we'll see.
Oh, okay. I picked a video game. I'm trying to get a read. Okay, I'll just go. So I picked a video game that I actually streamed this year called Life is Strange.
I almost picked that.
Yes, because it's literally the main character, Max, goes around. She's studying photography. She, you know, takes some pictures. Yep.
It's gay.
It does. I'm a Chloe stan and is super gay. Yes, you should be kissing Chloe if you have the choice in that game.
Yes. Yeah, but that's pretty much it. It's a video game. It's kind of like my reasoning for Pekka. It's a video game that utilizes their talent. So I think she'd get a real kick out of that. Also, it's like a school story where you're kind of, your main goal is to meet people and help people out, which like Mahiru might want a do-over of school, if you know what I mean, to help people out.
Okay, well, so Jason, did you pick the same one?
As that one?
Yeah.
Maybe, I'm not telling you, go.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Didn't know if we had a segue, you know what I'm saying? So, okay. No. So for Mahiru, I'll say the book and the movie because the movie might be more well known. So I picked the book, The Price of Salt by Patricia Highsmith. The movie, there's a movie called Carol, Kate Blanchett's in it. It's the same story. And so it's about this lesbian photographer who meets this this housewife and they end up having an affair. But the reason why that book is so famous is because it's the first lesbian story. It was written in the 1950s and it was the first one to end happy. And so I think Mahiru deserves a happy ending with her lesbian photography, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
she does. Yeah. Guys, how have we not had a single double yet?
Right?
We haven't
this is
had
impressive.
One double. And I thought for sure I was going to get doubled on this one. It's the most obvious pick.
Cam Jansen?
It's Pokemon Snap. Come on.
Oh my God.
Pokemon Snap rules. It's another one of those like weird games from the early aughts that focused on people just doing jobs, albeit in the Pokemon universe. Pokemon Snap is a remarkable game that has not been duplicated to this day. It's all about taking well-framed action shots of cool Pokemon, but you have to like lure them into specific positions and get them to do certain things with lures and abilities, and you can go on secret tracks down certain things. And I just think Mahiru would just love, she would just love it. She would get so into Pokemon Snap, just like I was so into Pokemon Snap. Mahiru would be all over it. However, Life is Strange is also a great pick. It was a little bit, now I get to like name drop a little bit, but like I'm good friends with Ashley Birch, who plays Chloe, and it is super weird to just hear my friend, like, because in a lot of roles she like, you know, puts on a different voice or something, but it's just her talking in that role and I'm just like, oh, it's just Ash talking to
that's
me.
So cool.
That's cool.
Very strange.
Wow.
Oh, very weird playing it.
That's
for
awesome.
Me
life is
but
strange.
She did a great job, obviously.
Very first game I streamed, so yes. Yeah,
great game. Love didn't love two that much. Two was kind of a disappointment, I gotta say.
I haven't played it yet, but
yeah, it's like it's not as good as one.
Is it better or worse than I Am Number Four?
I played the fifth. I'm not gonna answer that question because I'll get yelled at.
That's right. Oh man. All right. Did we all go for Mahiru? I think we did.
Oh no, we didn't. Did we?
Yeah, yes. We're all
okay. Then yes. Teru okay, yeah. Teru is next.
I tried to think of something with like all right. I actually just changed my mind. So at first I was going to go with Food Wars, which is an anime about, it's got everything you'd expect from a shonen anime, but it's about food. It's got a tournament arc. It's got a school. It's got an entrance exam. It's got the whole deal, but I'm changing it because I just remembered how Terra Terra died. And correct me, because this was like literally 4 years ago since I played DR2 or whatever, 5 years ago. I believe he was killed and left under the floorboards. Am I correct?
That's how he killed Tugami.
Oh, damn it. I messed up.
But he... Oh, yeah, he was
I'm
like...
I'm still going for it. I'm still going for it because it still works. Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, yeah.
Because the opening scene of Inglourious Basterds is, I would argue, the tensest scene in cinematic history. Now, I'm not saying the whole movie is the best movie in cinematic history, but the opening 7 minutes with Hans Landa and the siblings hiding out underneath the floorboards is so impactful to me. I love that movie. It's my favorite Tarantino movie, and I love Tarantino. I'm also, I don't know if this really gives it any more emotional resonance. I am Jewish, so like I know a ton about the Holocaust. I've met a million Holocaust survivors growing up. So does this have a lot to do with Terra Terra? No. Did I want to say it? Yes. So Inglourious Basterds. That's it.
Nice. So I consider Teru Teru to be a menace to society. And so I want
Dennis the Menace.
I wanted Teru Teru to stay home. And so I was like, let's try and work that in. And then I was like, but I don't want to give him anything that's too good of a show. Like, I don't want him to be entertained. I don't feel that Teru Teru, you know, should get as good of a book, let's say, as I Am Number 4 or anything
well,
like that.
Yeah, well, it can't be as good as that, right?
So I decided to give Teru Teru, the TV show, Fireplace for Your Home, which is...
Oh, wait, is that the one where you just put it on Netflix and it's just a nice fireplace?
Yes, it's just...
I've done that before. I've watched that before.
Fire.
Yeah, I read to that.
Yeah, it's kind of casual, but I don't think you can call it quality television. And yeah, it'll make him stay home. So, yep.
Maybe he would imagine like roasting something over the fire, you know?
Yes.
Wow. Jason's really trying to save Terra Terra.
I just want the best for him.
Yeah. Oh, well, my answer will not bring the best for him because for Terra Terra, I have an experience mixed with a song.
Ooh.
So I would lock Teru Teru up. I think he's a menace to society.
Woo!
I would make him stay home, but I would lock him there. And I would play my absolute least favorite song in the entire world on repeat, Christmas Shoes.
Not sure
song.
I know that one.
You don't know Christmas Shoes?
I'm Jewish. Like, I don't
that's
know.
That's true.
Can
sir,
I
wanna
money?
Buy these shoes for my
mama, please.
It's about this little boy whose mom is dying, and he wants to buy shoes for her, and it's the worst song I've ever heard in my life. So
can you hurry, please?
Well, I lived my whole life happily, not having heard it, but now that streak is ruined. Thanks, guys.
I love that song.
No, why?
It's just such a trip, you know?
I just don't know how to follow that because Marin chose a TV show that is not a TV show.
Right.
And Caroline didn't even choose like a show or a movie or a book, or she just chose to lock him in his room and like, listen to the same song over and over
song
again.
In it.
So I will, I will finish off this round by sharing an actual recommendation. That was so shady. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That was full of shade.
Did not mean.
Let me actually do the job we were all supposed to be here for.
Did not mean to be that shady. Accidental shade. But okay, so my pick for Teru Teru. When I was trying to think of what to pick for him, I was like, oh well, it could go like food themed, or I could try and come up with something, maybe some kind of story for him to read or watch or whatever to get him to respect women and or just people in general.
Oh yeah, he was like a chauvinist, wasn't he?
Yeah, there's like in his free time events, in his last one he like drugs Hajime.
What?
God, yeah. What territory? What are you doing, buddy?
So that's why he's a menace to society. Yeah.
It's been a while.
He's just pervy all the time, and then that happens.
Yeah, that too. But yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, what can I do to, like, maybe, I don't know, like, get him to think a little bit, maybe be a little more open-minded, maybe, like, reconsider himself as a person. You know, and I ended up choosing, this occurred to me and I was like, you know, why not? This is not, well, technically now it is a book, but it started out as like a social media project. I chose Humans of New York, which has now branched out into like Humans of Chicago or like Humans of Paris. There are like so many different like branches of it now, but it started out as just like an Instagram account, I'm pretty sure, called Humans of New York, where this guy would go around, he'd find a random person like on the street in New York City and just ask if they like, he'd be like, hey, I'm like doing a little like project thing or whatever. Like, do you mind chatting? You'd like sit down with them, get a like picture of them to put like on the social media and just ask them to tell their story basically in however way they want. And it is very interesting because like a lot of people, just complete strangers, would like very much open up about like their lives or like things that they've been through, or just, you know, some of them are like very casual, like very light, like you know, a personal story could be like, oh, I bought shoes today, versus like some people sharing stories about like all the things that they've been through, of like the these things in their life that, you know, are just like really like jaw-dropping and very deep. And it's just really interesting, and it helps you get a lot of different perspectives about like people and just the things that people go through and just all that stuff. And so I thought that could be a good choice as far as encouraging like respect for other people and just thinking about it that way.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever think that all the perspectives we hear about and see in all the media are colored specifically because all the people that do that are writers by trade? Because we don't, all the stories and plays and movies and things were made by writers specifically.
Right. Yeah.
But they can't, there's so many other, anyway, sorry. Just a shower thought. Shower thoughts?
Yeah. You support those.
Okay.
But like, yeah, that's what I love about Humans of New York, is because of the authenticity, just like in the moment, just asking someone in their own words to just share their story. It's very cool.
Who's last?
Well,
yeah, I don't know. It's like, I feel like if we maybe had the voice actor who played him here, that would help, but
no, we don't. We definitely don't have that. The comedic timing for this doesn't quite work out because the separation between the two characters are so far apart. But for my choice for Toogami, I'm going with Ring Fit Adventure. Get some freaking fitness in. You come on, you need it. You just need it. Ring Fit Adventure again. That's it. I'm not, no further explanation required.
That is so funny. Wow. He and Akane could just have a blast.
Yeah, they'd have a great. Akane was supportive.
True.
Akane would really, and then we could maybe get Nekumaru in there to like cheer him on. Like, it would just be like a really nice session, you know?
Yeah. So for Toogami, I picked a book, and it is actually one of my favorite books of all time. It is called Shift by L. Beauregard, and it is about a girl named Leah who finds out that she has the ability to shift to look like any other person, including like guys and like, kind of minor spoiler, but her boyfriend can shift into animals, and it's like this, like, it's very young adult and it's very sci-fi, but
Animorphs.
It's oh my gosh, but it's basically like this story of how can you keep your identity as someone who is no one. And hey, that's our buddy, our good old buddy Toogami. So yeah, that's what I picked.
So my choice for Byakuya Toogami, The Ultimate Imposter, spoilers, is a book called Before I Go to Sleep. It is a book by S.J. Watson.
Sounds scary.
What's that?
It sounds scary.
Oh, it's not scary per se. It's a little dark, but it's about a woman who has like like this amnesia where she has forgotten a ton of her past, but she also forgets like the day that just happened every time she goes to sleep. So basically every time she falls asleep, her memories reset. She wakes up every morning like it's the first morning, being like, where am I? Like, what's going on? She doesn't like, she like doesn't recognize her husband. He has to like basically tell her like the situation, explain to her like everything every morning. And it's like, but the story is her trying to find any way she can throughout the book to like find out who she is and like piece together this like pieces of her life. And obviously she has like no continuity because everything, she forgets everything every day, but like things start happening that make her start, encourage her to start like keeping a journal. So then she rereads it every day and is like starting to piece together puzzles. There's lots of twists. It's very interesting. It's a very good book. And yeah, it's about like a person who does not know who they are and really wants to find out who they are. And it's a journey of personal discovery. That's very interesting.
All right, Caroline, bring us home.
All right.
What do you got?
I'm really excited. So, okay. So I'm finishing this episode sort of in the same vein with Jason, where I'm repeating one I've used before, but from last time, from Trigger Happy Havoc. So I'm picking the same book for Byakuya Tougami as I picked for Byakuya Tougami, which is The 7.5 Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle. For all the same reasons I picked it for Byakuya, it's an Agatha Christie mystery meets Groundhog Day meets Downton Abbey. So it's like a rich people mystery and they're all in a mansion and it's really lavish and really awesome. But an essential key part of the story that I left out last time is that you repeat the same day over and over again, but the main character wakes up in the different body of a different person in the mansion every day and has to relive the day as that person. So,
what?
It's wow. A really good book.
Sorry, I need to repeat read the that. name of it one more time.
The 7.5 Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle.
It is, I'll just Google 7.5 deaths.
Yeah. It's super good. It's by Stuart Turton.
That sounds very interesting. I've received quite a few recommendations that I may, in fact, check out myself.
Let me know if you do, actually. Yeah, that'd be cool. I love books.
We're going to follow each other on Goodreads.
Yeah, I've done all that. We did not have a single, so let's see, 16 times 4, 64 total recommendations, not zero one. Repeats.
That's impressive.
We all had completely different recommendations for every single one.
That's awesome.
I really thought you guys would put fireplace for your home, you know?
Thought that was going to be a common one. I wanted to find a way to shove in The Demon Haunted World by Carl Sagan, which is my favorite book of all time, but I could not. Couldn't find a way to throw in The Demon Haunted World. But yeah.
Squad, cool. We got to do Bed, Wed, Behead.
Oh, we're doing that again. Yeah. All right.
I forgot. Who? Okay, so Tougami, obviously.
Of course.
Ibuki. Oh, we could do your favorites from this game. Ibuki, Nagito, and Chiaki.
Yeah, Ibuki, Nagito, and Chiaki.
Let's do that.
Nice.
Yeah. Quite a squad.
Can I bet all of them?
yeah. Oh, you have to kill one of them. Uh-oh.
No, I don't like that. They're my favorites. If you're deliberately picking my favorites, it's going to be hard to kill any of them.
Yeah.
Do we all give our impressions or just me?
It's a group game.
Yeah. Someone else should go. I need time. I need to think.
I know this. Mine. I know my answer. Okay.
Go for it.
I would behead Chiaki. I have said this before in this podcast, but she is like not my absolute favorite character in this game. Personal opinion. Love her, what she stands for, but
you're allowed to have wrong opinions. It's fine.
All right. I think I'm gonna
Chiaki's my girl. I will defend her.
I know. I do like her more now than I did the first time I played it, but yeah. I would bed Nagito. I gotta know. I have a thing for antagonists also. I kind of know what that would be like. And like, yeah, antagonists, love them, man. Really good. So gotta do that. And then I would wed Ibuki. I've said this before. I think we would be a great couple. She is like so uplifting and always speaks her mind. She's so random. Like I love her. And I sometimes need someone to like pull it out of me, you know, and she definitely would and make me go out to things. And I would reluctantly go because I love her, you know, just writing our love story right now. But yeah.
Would you have fun at the events though?
I would like secretly have so much fun.
But you would like outwardly complain about it. Be like, I just want to go home.
I'd be like, stop. Oh my God, this is so lame. No, I'm like, just kidding. I'm fun.
Ibuki would perform at the Bronze from Buffy.
Are you kidding? Jason, that's my absolute favorite show.
Who hasn't seen Buffy? We all love Buffy, right?
I mean, I do. I think I made
Caroline
Aaron
just
it.
Died a little.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Can I tell you, you're not going to like this, though. Buffy is one of my favorite shows of all time, but you're not going to like that I think Angel is a better show on average.
No, I think that is objectively... like
season four,
true.
Yes, very rough, very weird. Right. I don't want to think about all that Connor nonsense. But seasons 2, 3, and 5 of Angel are some of the best television ever made.
It's so here's the thing with Angel for me. I've been waiting until actually I graduated college to watch it because I've heard that it's a good show for when you're like starting your adulthood like journey. And so I am currently like watching Angel for the first time.
I actually kind of have a similar story. I watched Angel first.
Okay.
I don't know why that happened. I like knew about Buffy, but my friend recommended Angel. And I didn't know it was a Buffy spinoff at the time. And by the time I realized I was already into it. So I watched all of Angel, loved it. And I refused to watch Buffy for a long time because I knew that I would love it. Because clearly it's Whedon, it's the same universe, like no doubt I was gonna love Buffy. And I was like, in my mind, I was like saving it. I was like, I'm gonna need a show like Buffy when I'm like really sad one day, when I like someone dies in my life or I'm like going through a really rough time. I know I can go to Buffy and I'm like gonna love it and it's gonna distract me. After 8 years of this like idea, someone pointed out that like, hey, maybe you shouldn't like associate a great show with a horrible time in your life, and also you can always go back to it and watch it then. And I was like, all right, good point. So I did just watch Buffy at that point, and it was great. But yeah, I sort of feel that. Angel's great. And yeah. When I watched Angel, I didn't live in Los Angeles, so like I didn't recognize anything. But now I'm like, oh yeah, it's the corner of Sentinel and Sepulveda. So now I like see stuff in Angel, and I'm like, oh yeah.
That's wild. Anyway. Yeah, I'm watching it, so yay.
Sorry to totally interrupt that.
That was beautiful. Thank you. Oh my God.
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
All right, this is really hard. I think I would behead Ibuki. Yeah, which will make a little bit more sense. I was between wedding and beheading her and Chiaki, but I can't stand the thought of beheading Chiaki. So I'm going to wed her and behead Ibuki. And I think Caroline made some really valid points about bedding Nagito. So, yep, going to join you on that train. So I don't know if that has a weird meaning. I'm going to bed Nagito.
I could go next. We could, guest of honor can...
I got to go last.
Can save for last. Unless you don't want to go last.
No, I want to go last.
Okay. So I'm a little torn. I think, okay, it breaks my heart to do this. I think I probably will behead Ibuki. I am very sorry. Caroline, I know you love her. Jason, I know you love her too.
I love all three. You deliberately chose my three favorite characters.
Right, obviously. And so, yeah, I out of those three, I think I'd probably behead her. It breaks my heart. But, and then I was a little torn. I was thinking that I would wed Chiaki because I think she'd be like very kind and supportive of me, and bed Nagito because, like Caroline said, I also kind of have a thing for the antagonist. But then I thought back to a little something that Byakuya himself said on our last time we spoke with him about, you know, what is wedding but bedding for a lifetime. And you know, I think I'd maybe wed Nagito. You know, I guess I'd bed Chiaki.
I'm glad that sentence stuck with you.
It has.
I said that.
Oh my God.
Now, listen, I know what you guys are thinking. Jason's going to go because he loves all these characters and adhere to heteronormative standards about who he's going to behead. It's got to be Nagito, right? Wrong. I will not behead Nagito. I will bed Nagito.
Yeah!
Because you know what? That's going to be a time. I don't know what it's going to be like, but it's going to be a time. That means I have to behead either Ibuki or Chiaki, and I'm going to behead Chiaki. Look, she already sacrificed herself
All right. She already sacrificed herself. She's willing to do that. And she, like, Ibuki wants to live more. Ibuki, like, wants to she's full of life. So I'm going to wed Ibuki and I'm going to behead Chiaki and I'm going to bed Nagito. So that's my answer.
This is completely off topic and will likely get cut, but what Jason, what you just said about like Ibuki like wanting to live, Caroline, it reminded me, do you know what it reminded me of? In the episode with Michael and Miles, when they were like, oh, I think they were looking at Ibuki and they're like, I think she lives against her own will.
Yes, we had an episode where two of our other high school friends, because we're an enigma and have high school friends still, and like
I have three still.
I mean, these are the three. But like we had them on and had them guess the Super Danganronpa 2 characters based on appearance and like what they would be like, and they guess that Ibuki lives against her own will.
Lives against her own will.
Didn't they say she was like the ultimate goth?
Yeah, she's the ultimate goth.
Yeah, well that okay, that's right. A good guess. Yeah. Like, that's a good you know. Guess. Not really a talent, but like I see why they would say that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when they ask people, they're like when they ask like a grandmother to like name the Pokemon or something. Like,
right. It was a risk that was which. It's those are my favorite to watch, like when grandmas are guessing Pokemon. They're so funny.
It's always a fun time.
All right, everyone, that wraps up our episode today. Thank you so much for coming to listen. And thank you again, Jason, for coming to talk to us today. We had such a good time and we can't wait to see y'all next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye.